We are the boss. We are the boss.
Podcast.
Anthony, I have been wanting to talk to you for so long.
Anthony, we've already had an argument in the office about which role we love the most. I, of course, am more the Prime Minister in Little Britain. I think you did some awesome work as that.
And I, of course, think that you were put on this earth to play Giles for Buffy.
The Buffy fans are a bit creepy, aren't they?
No.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, they are.
Natalie, we are... hey, I just called you Giles.
they are extremely loyal, which is, I have to say, is very refreshing.
Yeah, it's a fine line between loyal and creepy.
The other thing that amazes me about Buffy, I don't know about what it's like in Australia, but in England, it keeps coming back. Every time, it's sort of cyclical, and I get kids coming up to me, and I think they're going to come up to me talking about Little Britain, and they've just seen Buffy for the first time. It's amazing.
Why? You know why? I got to know you so well as a character because I just thought Joss Whedon, this is what people don't realise about Buffy, Joss Whedon's script writing is amazing and it's so
fantastic.
Funny and it's so full of pop culture, and that sort of helped me in my job today because of the way that he references things, and I just think that you were brilliant in it, and I have heard rumours that there's going to be Buffy the movie, and if they're not rumours, I'll die.
Is it true, Anthony, do you know?
No, I don't think it is.
Oh, Anthony!
Way to shatter a little boy's dream right in front of my very eyes, Anthony.
Well, look, you can never say never. And ultimately, I mean, the last time I talked to Joss about it, I did say, you know, a number of people have asked me, what's the deal? And he said, certainly not in his book. He's busy with Dollhouse at the moment. You know, who knows? Who knows what might happen, and, you know, down the line. I have to say, I think we'd all be a little bit long in the tooth for it by the time it did get to the screen. But there you go.
Sarah Michelle Gellar's 50.
As an actor, you're really, really, really fortunate if you get one iconic gig in a career. I mean, I've just been blessed with that. It's amazing.
I mean, I know, because as passionate as people are about...
coffee commercial years ago, which thankfully hasn't, I don't think, ever touched the Australian shores, but... It was huge here. Then I went to do Buffy. Then I did Little Britain, and now I'm doing Merlin. And each one of them has got this real sort of extra life to it. It's extraordinary.
And Merlin's got massive ratings here. Massive ratings in Australia. It's amazing.
Well, I've heard that it's really taken everybody by surprise, and it's one of those shows that you just go, well, why the hell didn't anybody do this before? I mean, I remember shows when I was a kid, sort of like Ivanhoe with Roger Moore, and that's going back.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, exactly, I know, but I mean, talk about pop culture. But I mean, the bottom line was, you know, that nobody's really done, and we're not medieval. We're sort of medieval stroke Renaissance stroke kind of whatever it is, because Camelot is timeless. But there's something about it, which
is
so romantic and it's so cool.
It's that families can sit down and watch it together, and it's old enough for adults and it's young enough for kids, and it doesn't sort of patronise either.
That was the appeal of Buffy that actually Fox never got. Fox was selling it at 15 to 25-year-olds.
There
but
it is.
Actually, I had people of 50 coming up to me saying, I love this show. And I'm saying, I know, it's written for you. Don't worry about it. And the thing about Merlin is it's very clever. It's, you know, the dialogue, they've worked really hard at it so that it's accessible, but it's not too hip so that, you know, it's not talking down to you. It actually sort of keeps the adults as interested and as excited and as amused and, you know, all that as the kids.
And you play such a bastard. Oh, my God. I'm really torn inside watching this because I love you as Giles, and then you're a bit of a prick.
Well, you... He's ultimately, he might make a few bad decisions along the way, and maybe the odd bad choice, but ultimately he's doing it. He's just old school, you know.
But he's the reason that Merlin's keeping the magic secret.
I kind of see where he's coming from. I mean, by the time you get to the end of series one, you'll work out, you know, why he's got such a Jones about magic.
And
I mean, it is a deeply personal thing. And ultimately, all he's saying is...
You just sound like you're sticking up for
him. Yeah, bad David Copperfield experience.
You know, ultimately, he's getting a lot of bad press. And, you know, and it has to be said, if I didn't understand where he's gone, I don't necessarily say that I would do it as him if I was a king. But I understand where he's coming from, which ultimately makes it that much easier to play.
You're sucking up to your own character. I love it.
What's that character got over you?
Oh, my God. It's clear that we love everything you've ever done, Anthony.
You are one of my heroes.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for talking to us, Anthony.
That was Giles. Woo!